Good morning. I believe it's time for us to make our way in. It's so good to see all of you. Standing up here looking out at all of you, I can tell that we're a family because everybody's engaged in conversation and most people have smiles on their faces. And so this is a good place to be. But what unites us as a family is even more special. It's who we are in Jesus Christ. And so there is much to celebrate there. Even though we have joy in our hearts, it seems like with everything going on around us that we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge the suffering that's going on around us. And I would like to speak just a little bit about perspectives of worship and how we worship, even though there's so much suffering going on with the hurricane and the subsequent flooding. We have numerous people in our area who have lost their homes, who have lost their businesses. Some have lost loved ones, and it's my understanding still this morning there are several who are missing and who are not yet accounted for. And so people who are going through this type of burden are going to find it much more difficult to be smiling this morning than perhaps the rest of us. So how do we worship when there's so much pain around us? There is a beautiful image in the book of Habakkuk of deer or animals that are like mountain goats. And if you've ever been out hiking around here and you see deer on hillside and you wonder how they can keep such a wonderful balance, or if you've ever been out west and you've seen mountain goats on the side of a mountain, and you wonder how they keep from falling because it's very steep and jagged terrain, and yet they're very graceful about how they move themselves from one location to another, and we wonder how do they do that. Well, the terrain of life is very treacherous, and the terrain of life is unsteady and jagged, and yet Habakkuk has a perspective that's how we can still worship. This is how we can still rejoice. It doesn't mean that everything around us is always smooth sailing, but it does mean that we have a presence in our lives that is larger and more powerful than the pain that's around us. I would like to share this passage with you this morning. It's Habakkuk chapter 3. I will be reading verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Praise God.
Would you please stand with me as we sing together our first hymn, 578. We will glorify the King of Kings. 578.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in
Please be seated. Number 150 will be our next song, Worthy the Lamb That Was Slain. Worthy. Next, we'll sing together The Lord's My Shepherd, hymn number 393. 393. Okay, so I guess we'll use the book. 393. And if, since we're using the book, same opening, we'll sing two verses of hymn number 391, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Following this song, we'll be led in prayer. Savior, like a shepherd, lead.
As Danny said, with all the tragedy and difficulty that has struck our region and our area, I thought that it would be very appropriate to pray about that specifically, since we have members in our congregation who have no water and no power, and family that has been displaced. So we're going to pray for our region and for our own family. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, our hearts are full of sadness. The devastation from the storm and the rain and the local flooding has left us confused and many people reeling and devastated. The storm has come into our lives and has reminded us that our control of our lives is an illusion, that we can't make life the way we want it always. And it reminds us that we need you, our Creator. Our lives depend on you, our souls depend on you. Help us through this event to refocus our relationship on you and realize that we depend on you. Roads we thought were reliable, bridges that we thought that we trusted, and dams that protected us failed, but you will not. So help us remember that in everything we do, you are the only reliable thing in our lives. Those people who are trapped in their homes or without food or have had their houses washed away or destroyed by flood, may we be like you and open our hearts of generosity and figure out ways, craft ideas to be a blessing on them, to show them that we do care and we're there for them and we will help them, and ultimately that we show them that we are your children. All these things we ask and say in your Son's name. Amen.
If you're marking in your songbook our song of invitation following the lesson, will be hymn number 930, and then before we have a scripture reading and Tim brings our lesson, glad to have you back today, Tim. we'll sing together hymn number 641. 641. There and I.
Morning. A children's training class is available this morning. If you'd like to take your children to that, you may do so now. This morning we'll be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. It's Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, five, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, 6 to the praise of the glorious grace with which he has blessed us in thee, beloved.
I appreciate Steve offering the prayer that he did. I'm not diminishing it, but I also was asked to pray for a couple of more specific situations regarding the situation and a couple of individuals as well. So we want to go to God again in prayer, and I hope you'll join me as we do just that right now. Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. You are the maker of the heavens and the earth. You sustain this universe, Father, daily, moment by moment. Father, you are in control. And even though sin has brought much chaos into this world, you have the power to restore order and to restore lives and health. And Father, we're coming to you now very aware that we need you. We always need you, Father, but times like we've seen these past 3 days remind us just how much we need you. Father, the county of Unicoi has suffered greatly. There are many people there that are unaccounted for. There have been much devastation there. They've lost a hospital. Father, we pray that you'll bless the people of that county, that they will be able to find their loved ones safe and well, and that you will help restore their lives. The area of Greene County, Father, so much devastation there as well, and other communities nearby. Some are stranded because bridges have been washed out. People that are very close to our members here are unable to get out or make contact. And Father, we pray, watch over them until resources can be made available. And we know there are plenty of other areas, Father, in North Carolina and Georgia and Florida and South Carolina and all around, Father. We need you, Lord. We're thankful that your Son's influence has led thousands of people already to take initiative and to do things to help their neighbors. Father, we pray that you will step in where we cannot and watch over these people that are in such great need. We also pray, Father, on behalf of our brother Jim Cooper. I received a message this morning that he is not doing well. Father, please watch over Jim. He's been such a devoted servant. Bless Mary Lou as she watches over her husband, and Lord, just help the situation to improve. Give them both comfort, give them strength and wisdom. Help them to know they are loved greatly. We also pray on behalf of Carrie Chapman. He had a biopsy last week, Father, and the results are not yet known on that. And Father, we just pray that the findings will be good and that his health will be better than some may fear. Watch over him, Lord. Bless his mother, Charlotte, that she might have peace and assurance, knowing that everything is in your hands. We know that everyone here this morning, Father, has something in their heart for which they are praising you or for which they are beseeching you. Look inside our hearts, Father. Know what is there, and we trust you to do what is right and what is best. We love you, Lord. We need you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And I can say myself, I've been the recipient of many blessings these last 3 weeks. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your outpouring of concern and love. And it's good to be back. Really good to be back. Thank you. Thank you to Mike for filling in for me, for Nate, for Josh, and for others that stepped in various ways, and just really appreciate all that has happened. God has been good to us, no doubt. And I can say again, I am blessed. Can you say that? Let's say it. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
We are blessed. Praise God. He's the one that blesses us. It's good to be with you. Good to have this number with us. I know our number is down, and that's for many reasons. But we pray for those that aren't able to get here to be with us today, others that are tending to loved ones who are in need. But we're glad you're with us today. And all of you visiting with us online, so good to have you with us as well. Hope that you are well. And for anybody, if there are things that we can do to be of assistance, I know the elders are discussing now ways in which we're going to try to respond to the problems around us, and they will be communicating with us more on that. But if you know of situations, either your own or somebody that you love that needs help, please let us know. We can't do everything, but we can do things, and we'll do all that we're able. So please know that we're here to do what we're able to do. Lord willing, tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be back again, and we will hear the young men of the congregation lead our worship service this evening. If you've been involved in that in the last two or three times, you know how refreshing that can be. And we need that right now, don't we? We need that refreshing. So I hope you'll come back and join us. Be here in person so they see you here supporting them, and it will be a great encouragement to them. And then I think after we're finished here this morning, we'll go downstairs, we'll have a meal together. I hope you'll be able to join us for that. If you're visiting, you are an honored guest, and we'd love to for you to come down and join us for that. So it's good to be together. Let's get our Bibles out now, and let's get into the Word of God and find things that will help us live lives that will please Him even more. Now let's imagine this. Let's suppose that somebody has been away for a period of time, we'll say 3 weeks. And they come back and they say, hey, it's good to be back. And somebody says, oh, you've been gone? I hadn't noticed. Thank you for not saying that to me this morning, by the way. Because I think you would agree that would be very disheartening. You didn't notice that I was not here for that period of time. And that's the way it is. I mean, that's who we are. We're made to be people that feel the need to be noticed, the need to be appreciated and acknowledged. And when that doesn't happen, then we become very discouraged. We become very depressed. And it leads people to do things they shouldn't do. In the ultimate sense, could we say that God notices us? That God notices us? And among those people that believe in God, there are many that might say, well, you know, God made us. I agree with that. But notice us? He's much too busy for that. He's got a lot of other things he needs to do. Why would God notice me? The message I have this morning is from the Bible. It is that you've been on his mind. You've been on his mind. It is a message that applies to every one of us. It has always been true, and it is true this moment. It's something the Bible teaches very clearly. And knowing that and believing that can make a real difference in the way we live our lives. So I hope you've got your Bible ready, turned on or opened up. Let's get into the Word of God. I hope you'll follow these passages with me, and let's find out what God has said on this idea of being on his mind. Are we really on God's mind? First of all, the question, does God notice me? Does God notice me? Now, I've had some text messages in the last few weeks, and maybe you've had a few of these as well, from important people. I mean, I've been getting some text messages from very important people, people I read about in the news, people that I've heard about in other ways. They're texting me. And it even has my name in the text message. And then I stop and then I think, wait a minute, this is election year, isn't it? And I'm just guessing that somehow my phone number and my name have been lumped into a massive database, and they're just blasting this out, and they don't really know me from Adam or from Eve. This is just something very impersonal. Even though it looks personal, it really isn't. Is that true with God? Is that the way God operates with us? God gave us a Bible, and it says, you know, I'm thinking about you, but really it's like those text messages. The Bible gives us much different information than that. I want us to begin in Psalm 142. Psalm 142, and we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. Psalm 142, verses 4 and 5. Now, you'll notice at the heading of the psalm, it says, in the cave. David wrote this psalm when he was in the cave. And we know from 1 Samuel, as well as in Chronicles, this was during a very difficult time in his life. He'd been forced to flee from the country. Saul was out to kill him, and so he had to run for his life. And for a time, he was in a cave hiding. And he says this in Psalm 142, verse 4, look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. Now, how dark is that? How dark is it in your life if you've ever felt that way? And I would say that's very dark. It is like being in a cave. And yet, David doesn't stop there in the psalm. He goes on in verse 5 and says this, I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Now, was it true that nobody cared for David's soul? Well, it might have been. Likely not, but maybe. At least that's how he felt. And sometimes if that's how we feel, then that is our reality. But David also reminded himself, I have God. And I know that God is my refuge. God is there for me to call upon. And boy, what a lifeline that is when we know that God cares about our soul. And that takes us back to Psalm 8. Turn back with me now to Psalm 8 and verse 4. This is a beautiful psalm, one that we love to hear. David is writing there about all the splendors of heaven and the stars and the moon that God has fashioned with his hand. And then he pauses in verse 4 with this reflection. Verse 4 of Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? David is saying, you know, I'm looking at the stars, I'm looking at the planets in the sky, and then I'm reminded, you care about us. You are mindful of us. We are on your mind, Lord. And how is that possible? And that is just an astonishing idea to think about. The ESV Study Bible has this note about verse 4. It is astonishing that the God who is great enough to have made the heavens can take notice of mere man. But he goes beyond taking notice. He is mindful of man. He cares for him. And then T.D. Alexander, in his comments on that verse, says this phrase marks the exact center of the psalm, highlighting the importance of humanity in God's eyes. And I like that thought. Psalm 8, a beautiful psalm, but in the exact center of that psalm, there is this idea. It's like a bullseye. A bullseye is right in the center of the target, and you're aiming for that target, and that's what David was aiming for us to understand. This amazing God, so great in power, cares about you and about me. God has us on his mind. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, we'll let God speak for himself. Isaiah 57 and verse 17, where God says this, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and we would expect that, wouldn't we? This is God we're talking about. He dwells in the high and the holy place. But God goes on, and he says, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. We're talking about people that are bowed down with oppression, people that have been lowered by life. They just don't feel like they account for anything. And God says, I'm there with them. They are on my mind. I take notice of them. And again, we say, how wonderful is that? The creator of the heavens and the earth, he takes notice of mere humanity, and I'm part of that number. And so, yes, God does notice. And let me give you an example of that from the Bible. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 49 and 50, we'll read. Mark 10, 49 and 50. And here we've got a man whose name is Bartimaeus. You may remember that Bartimaeus was a blind man in the city of Jericho. And because he was blind, he could not work for a living. And so how do you get by? You beg. And here he was begging, as he always did, and he hears a commotion. And they tell him, this is Jesus, and he's heard about Jesus. And he begins calling out, Jesus, son of David, look on me, come my way. And people around him are annoyed, and they say, be quiet, man. This is Jesus, don't bother him. And then Mark tells us this, in Mark 10, verses 49 and 50, Jesus stopped. He heard this man calling out for him. Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man and said to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. I love that description that he sprang up. That tells me something about his attitude. He was overjoyed to hear that Jesus had taken notice of him and now was calling him. And that's the idea for us. Do we understand what it means for Jesus to notice us? And when we do, we're going to spring up and say, really, Lord? You're noticing me? You're asking me to come and spend eternity with you and to be part of your kingdom on this earth? That's God. God notices people. That is the consistent message of the Bible. But let's take it a step further now, and I want to talk about proofs. Proofs that you and I have been on God's mind. Because you might say, well, I've heard all that before. I understand, you know, that people are going to, you know, God thinks about people, but that's in the generic. You know, God loves people, God loves the world, kind of like I love the world, but there's certain individuals I don't love, you know. That's the way we are. But that's not God. And I want to prove it to you from the Word of God that God notices you and me individually. The first proof that I'll offer for that is plans that were made long ago. Plans that were made long ago. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus is talking about the great judgment day. He says everybody will be assembled there. We'll all be gathered for that day, and then the verdicts will be announced. And he says to those on his right hand, the righteous, he says this in Matthew 25, verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, sometimes we have people drop in on us unexpectedly, and we may say, oh, it's good to see you. Will you stay for supper? And then we rush to the kitchen. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And we have to make plans on the fly. You notice Jesus doesn't say that, does he, about those who are going to inherit the kingdom. He says, this kingdom has been prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. The foundation of the earth is an image. It's a way of saying, you know, like when you built your house or somebody built the house you live in, the first thing was the foundation. That was the beginning. And this says that way back in the beginning, these plans were already underway. God knew what he was going to do to bless the righteous. And then look again at the passage that Mark read for us earlier in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says much the same thing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Now again, did you notice that same phrase? The foundation of the world. And this time he says, before. Before the foundation of the world. That means that all the way back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before that, we were on his mind. Now, this doesn't say that he chose individually who will be saved and who will not, as some teach. But it says those who are in Christ, he chose to be saved and to be blessed richly. But again, think about that. Plans that were made a long time ago. I was in a Bible class last Sunday morning at the Creve Hall Church of Christ in Nashville. David Sain was teaching that class, and he mentioned these two passages we just looked at, as well as others, and he raised this question. What was God doing before he created the heavens and the earth? What was God doing before he created the heavens and the earth? And you know, the Bible is pretty much silent about that, except for what we just read. He was thinking about us even before the creation got going. That's what the Bible says. And so, can we say that we've been on his mind? I think absolutely we can say that because of these plans that were made long ago. But let me give you a second proof that you've been on his mind. And that second proof is a specifically individual focus. A specifically individual focus. In Luke chapter 15, and I love the songs that Phil picked out this morning. He must have been looking at my sermon notes earlier. No? Wow. Inspiration continues, maybe. I don't know. But in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, Jesus is giving that parable of the lost sheep. He was eating with tax collectors and sinners and being criticized for it. And Jesus said, hey, look at why I came to this earth. And he gave this parable. He says this in Luke 15, verses 4 and 5. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And again, you see, that's the idea. One sheep. I mean, you got 99 over here left. Most of us think, well, 99% is pretty good. I'll accept that 1% loss. But Jesus didn't accept that. Jesus said there is one who is still out there, and I've got to go find that one. And maybe you're that one this morning. Do you matter to the Lord? He specifically looks on you and says, you matter. I died for you. If you were the only one that had ever sinned out of all of humanity, I would have done this for you, I believe he would have said. And so the idea is, yes, there is this individual focus. John chapter 10, you see it again. Same imagery, a sheep and shepherd. Listen to what Jesus himself says in John 10 and verse 3, for example. He says to him, the gatekeeper opens, that is to the shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Does Jesus know your name? I'm convinced he does. I know he knows mine. And he says here, I know my sheep by name. And then go down to verse 14 where he goes on, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. There's that individual focus. You are on his mind. That's what he's saying. And then we'll switch the imagery a little bit by going to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. But the idea is the same. One is important to the Lord. You are important to the Lord. In Matthew 10, beginning in verse 29, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Sometimes I'll notice where a bird has died. It's laying on the ground. I barely noticed that. Jesus said, sparrows are noticed by the Lord. They will not fall to the ground apart from their Father. And he's saying, you're of more value than many sparrows. Every individual person is valuable in the sight of God. That's what Jesus was teaching there. And I know the world doesn't teach it that way. The world may say, oh, I know your kind. You're not important. I have no use for people like you. But we're not talking about the world. We're talking about the Heavenly Father. And he says, you are of greater value than mine. I even know how many hairs are on your head. And we're not going to make any jokes about that right now, out of respect to many of us. But the point is, God knows us intimately. He knows us intimately. Why? Because he cares. We have been on his mind. If I ever do meet a dignitary, I've met a few in the past, not many, but I always have to be introduced. They don't say, oh, I know who you are. That's never happened with me. But when I meet Jesus, nobody's going to have to introduce me. He knows me. And you can say the same thing as well. He will know your name when you see him. And you will see him on the day of judgment. Hopefully beyond that, he will know your name. Does that make a difference in your mind? And here's a third proof that we are on the Lord's mind, and that is the coming of Jesus to earth. I mean, this is the big one, the really big one. Why would Jesus, who is God, leave his place in heaven, put on a mortal body of flesh, put himself at risk by subjecting himself to temptations and pain and suffering and all of those things? Why would he do all of that? Because you matter to him. Because I matter to him. John 3:16, you know what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But let's say the first part of that together, except this time, as you see on the screen there. Instead of saying the world, you say your name. Will you do that with me? For God so loved the world. I'm sorry. Pay attention, Tim. Here we go again. For God so loved Tim that he gave his only son to die for him. Did you say your name? Whether you did or not, it's still the same. He died for you. He died for you. And Romans 5, verse 8 says very much the same thing, a verse we love. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for them. It's not what Paul said. He said us. And that's how it still reads today. Christ died for us. What a difference that makes. When we know that, when we believe it, he hung on the cross all those hours. He suffered all of that agony because we were on his mind. We've always been on his mind, whether we think of him or not. Let me give you one more illustration from an incident in the New Testament. John chapter 1, verses 47 through 49. John chapter 1, 47 through 49. You remember that Philip went and found Nathanael. Philip had already met Jesus, and he was just excited about Jesus. And he found Nathanael, and he said, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And you remember how Nathanael responded to that. Somebody from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, listen to what it says in John 1, verses 47 through 49. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, we don't know exactly what that involved. John doesn't tell us. But it was something intensely personal, apparently. Something that maybe nobody else could have known. And yet Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. Did that make a difference? Well, listen to what it says in verse 49. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, this is the same one that Nathanael had earlier said, well, you are of no value. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But when he learns that Jesus had noticed him under the fig tree, it changed everything. There have been very private moments in your life, as there are in my life. Jesus knows them. Nobody else on earth does. Jesus knows them because we've always been on his mind. And I'm here to say today that you may not know Jesus. I mean, you may have heard his name, you may have heard it, you know, preaching on him, but do you know Jesus? And you may say, well, I really don't know him. But he knows you. He knows you. And even in spite of all the bad that you think you may have done and that you really have done, he still loves you. He still cares about you. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? That's still true. And if that moves you, as I hope it will, maybe you'll decide this morning to obey the simple plan of salvation. You've heard the message. You know that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that enough, that you'll turn your life away from sin, repenting of it, and you'll confess him before others, and today be buried with him in baptism, then we're going to be happy to help you see your sins removed and be baptized into Christ, where all those spiritual blessings are, as Ephesians 1 says. And we urge you to do that if you've not yet done it. And if you've done those things and yet sin has deluded you, you've been pulled back into the world and your focus is much more on the world than it is on the kingdom of God, you may need to repent this morning and pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Help me to walk the right path from this day on. Or you just may need strength to do better than you've been doing. If we can help you by praying with you, whatever your need may be, please come as we stand together and sing.
Jesus.
Thank you.
be seated.
Joanna has come forward this morning asking for our prayers. And she's like a lot of us. She's very troubled by all that she's seen on television reports and otherwise, all of the suffering that's going on, all of the devastation. And she just wants us all to pray that God will help during this time. And certainly that is a good thing for us to be reminded often. Don't forget to pray. Many of us were spared, but a lot of people were not. So let's not forget about those that were not spared, but continue holding them up in prayer and doing whatever we're able to do. I also happened to notice my sister here this morning, Gay Clark. We've been praying for her a lot, and so happy to see her recovered enough to be out with us again. And I appreciate Jean Airwood's daughters, Carol and Margaret, being with us today. They provided a meal for me in Nashville. Wasn't that nice? So good. You know, so many blessings by being in the family of God. So many blessings. And one that we want to recognize as being new to our family this morning is Rudy Rodriguez. Did I get that right, Rudy? I think I got the last name right. Where is Rudy? There he is. Rodriguez? Okay, Rudy, he's standing there in the back now, by the way. Rudy moved here about 3 weeks ago from Arkansas or Texas. Texas, I'm sorry. And he's in for a job down in the Telford area. And Rudy called ahead of time. He had been looking. He wanted to find a good church home. He's a member of the body of Christ. And Rudy met with a couple of our elders this morning, and everything looks good. And so now we want you to welcome Rudy Rodriguez into the family here at Central. So be sure to welcome him. Thank you, Rudy. And now let's bow to God and go to God again in prayer. Father, again, we praise you and we thank you for so many gifts, so many blessings, and especially for the gift of you. You are our portion, Father. You are everything we need. And at times of trouble, we know that, Lord, better than at others. We continue our prayer, thankfully, for Joanna's reminder that you will bless all of those in this region who have been so affected by the flooding. Even those whose homes were not damaged, it affects our spirits. And Father, just help us to realize this world is not our home. There's something far better, and the solid rock is always where we want to build our lives. But Lord, bless those who are in great need of help. Bless those who are still unaccounted for. Bless those first responders who are out there putting themselves at risk. Father, please bless this situation. We're so thankful that Gay has been restored to better health and is back with us this morning. We're so thankful for Rudy coming our way and wanting to be a part of the family here at Central. And we pray that he will be welcomed and that many will benefit from his talents and his abilities, and that we'll help him in various ways. Lord, thank you for this family. Thank you for the greater family that is all over the world. Be with us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As a family here gathered around the Lord's table, just a moment, we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper. Before we do that, let's sing Lamb of God, hymn number 176.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you are sin on your side, to walk upon this guilty side, and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God,
the Lord's Supper. Please turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and go and start preparing your cups. Does anyone have need of a cup? We have plenty in the back where men can bring them to you. Just simply raise your hand. All right. Last week we asked the question, what does this mean to you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we find Paul gives an answer as he recounts the Lord's Supper. Picking up at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So this bread represents his body that was broken on the cross for us. Let's pray for the bread. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins, whose body was broken for us that we might find salvation in him unto you. Father, at this time as we prepare our minds to partake of it, we ask that we do so in a manner worthy to you, that we prepare our minds and take our time properly to do so and observe this memorial that you've established for us. Father, please bless us. It's in Christ's name. Amen. prepare your cups for the juice. As we continue reading, we find in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So this juice represents the blood of Christ that was shed, that sealed the new covenant, that gives us salvation. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, we ask that you bless this juice, this grape juice that represents your son's blood that he gave on that cross, that washes our sins away, that seals this new covenant between us and you. Father, as we partake of this thing, we understand that it proclaims his death until he comes again. And Father, again, we ask that we do so in a manner worthy unto you. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Separate and aside from the Lord's Supper as a matter of convenience, we now have this time to observe the offering and give prayer for the offering. And before we do so, I'd like to read from verse 1 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also do. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me." So we've been commanded to set aside our material blessings to give back to the Lord things that we're stewards of. Our material blessings are our physical money blessings. It's also our material blessings of time, effort, things that we can do to be serving him. So as we give back both our offering, let's also give back our time, as we're stewards of that time as well. Let's pray again. Father, this time we come before you to pray for this offering, that it goes to good needs, serving those who need it, Father. Those that have been affected by this flood, Father. Those that are in need of you, Father. We ask that these things go and contribute to those needs. Father, we ask that you be with the church here, Father, and let us be good stewards of the many material blessings that you've given us. Let us continue to do your work, both here and both outside. Father, we ask that you bless this and bless us, Father. Guide, guard, and direct us always. Thank you for everything you do. We love you, and we know that you love us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would you pray with me, please? Our Holy Father, we are in awe of how you can care so deeply for sinners like us, but you do, and we praise you, and we are thankful for the reminder of how much you care for us. Help us to not be distracted from your love, but help us to always carry in our hearts the value you see in us and the importance that you see in us, and that it will sustain us through all of our journey. We continue to pray, Father, for those who are experiencing so many burdens related to the flooding, and we ask your care on them, and we ask for your guidance as to ways to best minister to all of those in need. And Father, for the meal that we are about to share together, we give thanks and we ask your blessings on it. We ask your blessings on our time together. And Father, we pledge to you that you will be in our hearts just as we are with each other. We offer this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We do have these announcements this morning.
Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. Our weekly bulletin can be located on the message board. There will be a gift card shower.